Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung, and welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. We're so glad to have you along. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Yeah, you were expecting Dave, Sam, or Gary, were you not? Well, they're away in ministry associated with the broadcast and the rest of their different ministry responsibilities. They'll be back tomorrow. And so the first team taking a day off, sending in the B team, and we're here to assist you in looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy. That's going to be the theme for the broadcast today. I have four broadcast partners that are going to join me in a moment. David James, he's a key component of the ministry of our ministry, Prophecy Today. Then David Dolan, he's been a longtime journalist in the Middle East. We'll have then Dr. Rob Congdon, who is an expert in the European Union, what they're doing. And my son Jim Jr. is going to join us with information about a brand new discovery at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. You want to keep the dial set right where it is for all of these conversations. First of all, as we mentioned, David James is joining us, and David is responsible for teaching the prophetic word of God all across the world. Now, he is, in fact, leaving tomorrow to go to India. He just returned from some spot in the world. You know, he's always traveling so many places, I can't remember exactly where, but I do know he's going out to India tomorrow. He's also associated with our ministry. He has a key conversation with me each and every week as we look at current events, but in particular, some issues that the body of Christ needs to have a biblical understanding of. That's on my weekly broadcast, Prophecy Today. David teaches in our School of Prophets, and we've been training him. He's going to be leading some tours to Israel. He's very knowledgeable of the Word of God. He's been introduced to the land of the Bible, and he's going to be helping us out as we take tours. We'll talk about that a bit later on in the last segment. David, you introduced to me a very interesting phrase, postmodern prophetic paradigm. Now, I don't know if that's original with you or not, but would you give a definition to those listening to this conversation of that phrase, postmodern prophetic paradigm?
Well, Jimmy, it's really a privilege and pleasure to be with you on this particular broadcast, and I'm always happy to speak with you every week. No, the phrase isn't original with me. It was originated by a couple of ladies who were also in discernment, Sarah Leslie and Galen Goodrode, and they follow these same kinds of things that I do, looking at aberrations in prophetic teaching. And the postmodern prophetic paradigm means that postmodernism looks at it's a relativism that actually in many ways departs from the absolute truth of the Bible. So it's a relative look. And in doing so, these teachers who use this, they not only use the Word of God, but they also will bring in a lot of speculation, pagan mythologies. They are very much sensationalist, and they're bringing all sorts of things together and treating them on the same level as the absolute truth of the Word of God and applying it to prophecy. So it's giving people a very distorted view of the Word of God and what is still in store for this world.
Last Saturday, David, on our broadcast, Prophecy Today, we discussed what happened in Norman, Oklahoma. They had a prophecy conference out there, I believe was entitled the Blessed Hope Forum. And they had, I think, 33 different speakers. Of those speakers, there were some that were very godly, biblical teachers of the Word of God, the prophetic Word of God. We know them personally. But there was a group of guys who I think would have to fit into that definition, those postmodern prophetic paradigm preaching guys. And they were using sensationalism, false information, etc. That is dangerous, is it not, for the body of Christ if they get connected in studying prophecy that way?
Well, it really is. You know, I've heard that maybe there were up to 2,000 people in attendance, and I heard some great guys like Mark Hitchcock, Tommy Ice, Andy Woods, Randall Price, Ron Rhodes, really solid guys. But alongside them, they have Tom Horn, L.A. Marzulli, Derek Gilbert, Josh Peck, and it was also led by Gary Stearman, hosted by them. And these guys, most of them hold to what we have called the UFO Nephilim eschatology. You know, we hear a lot about fake news. Well, this is fake eschatology, talking about UFOs going to saying that even Nephilim may be existing today, black-eyed children, that the Antichrist is going to be a Nephilim, all kinds of strange teachings, and it's right alongside these very good Bible teachers. So it's an extremely confusing situation.
Well, we do have an exhortation in the Word of God to separate these types of meetings or conferences and do not have false teachers alongside of those solid men teaching the Word of God, because it causes confusion to the body, and they can be, the body of Christ, the Christians that attend these conferences, can be led into a wrong direction, can't they?
Well, they sure can. And so, for example, if you have Mark Hitchcock giving a very good message, for example, on the judgment seat of Christ, which was one of his messages, if he's followed by one of these other guys and he's bringing a sensational message, then just the human nature is going to be attracted to this false teaching, even more so than the Word of God, unfortunately, just due to the temptations involved with our human nature. And so the other problem is that if they're on the same stage together, then people are going to not be able to make the distinction between the good teaching from the solid guys, and they're going to gravitate toward the teaching from the other guys and think that the good guys are endorsing the bad guys. This is just a really bad situation. I try to avoid it. I know you try to avoid it. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying that we need to be really careful in these situations as leaders in the Christian community.
I know in our School of Prophets conference, which is going to be held in Chattanooga, Tennessee, December 5, 6, and 7 of this year, beautiful location for this conference, you're going to be introducing a brand new course in our master's and PhD degree programs called Prophetic Apologetics. Now, we've only got about a minute. Tell me what apologetics is and how does prophecy fit into that as we try to interpret the scriptures correctly?
Well, apologetics in general is just the defense of Christianity against the objections and truth claims of competing worldviews. And then the way we would apply it to prophetics is to look at it more narrowly and see how we would use the scriptures to defend a pre-tribulational, premillennial, dispensational understanding of the scripture, believing that the rapture of the church occurs before the tribulation period. And so we'll show people how to defend that view.
Well, and does that not, and just quick answer, if you will, does that not mean we use a literal approach to interpreting all of the Word of God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22?
Absolutely. Prophecy is not a separate category. We use the same principles for every part of the Word of God.
David James, and he is very much involved in our ministry, has his own website. David, give that quickly to us.
It's biblicalintegrity.org, one word, biblicalintegrity.org.
We're going to take a break right now, and we come back. David Dolan here on Stand in the Gap Today.
What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Thank you very much, sir. Jimmy DeYoung here at the microphones as we step in to help give Dave, Sam, and Gary a day off to be involved in other ministry as far as they are concerned. They'll be back tomorrow. You'll be able to have the first team tomorrow. We're filling in, and we're looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy for the entire hour. We opened up with David James and the reason that we need to literally interpret the Word of God for the purpose of being able to understand what he's trying to tell us about the end times. Now, when we think about what God's prophetic Word says, we understand the absolute. But then there are current events happening around the world that seem to give us indication of how this prophetic scenario may quickly be coming to fulfillment. One of the ways we do that is we cover the Middle East, and the man that does that for us is David Dolan, longtime journalist, over 35 years in the Middle East as a journalist, worked for a long time for CBS Radio. He knows this part of the world. This region is key to understanding Bible prophecy. David, so glad you could be along with us on this program today. Want to find out about how the decision by Donald Trump not to certify the Iranian nuclear deal is playing there in Israel. What about Prime Minister Netanyahu? Is he happy for this decision by the president?
Well, definitely, Jimmy. He had been asking the United States previous administration to hold off on signing the deal, particularly pointing out that it did not demand the dismantling of the uranium enrichment centrifuges that are still sitting in place in Iran today and can be started up within moments and within a week can be producing weapons-grade uranium. And that is according to a senior Iranian official who said that a couple weeks ago in response to the reports that Donald Trump was going to decertify the deal. Now, of course, we have to point out he didn't end the deal yet. At least he didn't end the U.S. participation. He just threw it back to the Congress to see if they can come up with better terms. The word I'm hearing from Jerusalem, Jimmy, is there's very little feeling that's going to happen, very little feeling. The Iranians are pretty clear that they like this deal. They're not going to go make any changes to it. And the other parties are not demanding changes, so far at least, but France and Britain and a couple have said they would be open to it, but they're not demanding it. So it's a mixed reaction, but Jimmy, it comes as the Israelis are keeping a wary eye on Iranian activity just to the north of Israel in Syria. The chief of staff of the Iranian regime, the military, has been visiting Damascus, and he said, we won't tolerate any Israeli actions against the Syrian regime. We, Iran, he said, will stand up and defend Syria. This, of course, comes after on Monday, Israeli jets pounded a site inside of the Syrian-Lebanese border, but inside of Syria, that was used to shoot some rockets at Israeli jets, that aircraft, warplanes really, but spy aircraft that were flying over not Syrian airspace, but over Lebanese airspace. And the Syrians, for the first time in many years, Jimmy, chose to fire at those Israeli jets. The Israelis fired back, and Prime Minister Netanyahu warned that they won't tolerate any more such actions from the Syrians. Well, the Syrians say, hey, it's our right and our duty to protect our skies. But again, they were over Lebanese airspace. And it just shows the Israelis believe how strong the Syrian regime has become in the past couple of years with Russian and Iranian assistance, how bold it's becoming. And there is now a lot of talk in Israel about a full-blown conflict possibly looming between Israel and Syria that would involve apparently Iran. And the question and the danger is that it could also involve the Russians against Israel. And the Russian foreign minister is in Israel for the first time, and they're discussing all of these issues.
Well, that's at Israel's northern border there with Syria and Lebanon. But at the southern border, you have the Gaza Strip. And within the last couple of days, the two factions of the Palestinian Authority, that would be Hamas and also Fatah, they have met together. They had reconciliation talks, actually ended up in Cairo, Egypt, discussing and coming to an agreement on that. What about these two factions of the Palestinian people coming back together, uniting? Boy, this sounds like it's going to be dangerous for the Israeli people, will it not?
It's definitely another development that they're not very excited about. They do, however, welcome the idea, and it's still just a proposal, Jimmy. We'll have to wait and see if this actually plays out on the ground, because we have had, I think, three previous agreements between the two factions that fell apart each time. And in this case, what the Israelis are happy about is that the PA is supposed to be taking over Gaza. They're happy about that, but the agreement does not call for the dismantling of the Hamas army. They have about 25,000 armed soldiers. They have fully equipped weaponry, mainly from Iran, and they're not being touched, apparently, under this agreement. Prime Minister Netanyahu met with the Security Cabinet yesterday to discuss this, Jimmy, and afterwards he stated that Israel would not recognize this deal. It would continue to work, though, with the PA government. It wouldn't break all ties with that side of the government, but it would not recognize the deal, and he made clear they would have no connections to anybody from Hamas, unless, as he's always said, Hamas changes its founding charter and stops calling for Israel's destruction and stops working for Israel's destruction. And, Jimmy, a side note on that, the prime minister also said that rockets that were fired over the weekend from just south of the Gaza Strip, from the Sinai Peninsula, by ISIS forces, that Israel would respond to those sites as well from now on and would counterattack back, even though that's in Egyptian sovereign territory. He said, we will not put up any more with rockets coming at us from anywhere and where we won't respond to it. So that's a warning kind of to Egypt, and maybe just a sign that the Israelis were not overpleased by the Egyptian role in this reconciliation. They would rather, of course, see Hamas confronted and not welcomed into the Big Tent family.
I've got to talk to you also about the Jordanian spokesperson for the Jordanian government across the Jordan River there from Israel. He said that Jews on the Temple Mount provoke Muslims around the world. Now, I understand the Jordanians have custodial responsibility on the Temple Mount, but the Bible and historic information tells us that Temple Mount has been there for 3,000 years for the Jewish people. Is it pretty audacious for these Jordanians to say, hey, don't let any Jews on the Temple Mount, it provokes the Muslim world?
It's very audacious, Jimmy, but even more than that, it's a sign of how much the policy in Jordan has been changing in recent months against Israel. This statement that he's making is, frankly, simply just standard Islam. I mean, if you look through the Quran, if you study the whole thing, if you look through history, and we've talked about this before, Islam is triumphant. They should rule over Jews, not the other way around. Any site that falls into their hands, they should hold on to that forever, unopposed. This is a sign of the truthfulness of Islam, they believe. So he's just espousing a more Muslim fundamentalist view than we've previously heard from Jordanian leaders, and that's in line with the growing fundamentalist movement in the whole region, both in the Shiite and the Sunni side of the Muslim world. But it is very audacious. Of course, the Israelis don't freely go up on the Temple Mount. That's still a disputed thing. And whenever there are any Israelis up there, there's usually trouble. And so it's not even a big issue, but to the Muslims it is. But Jimmy, at the same time you talked about Jerusalem, they just let reporters in the past few days to see the newly uncovered stones below Sherman's Arch, just next to the Temple Mountain. They are way, way deep into the earth, and they are in pristine condition because they've been covered up for 1,700 years by rubble and dirt, and no sun has touched them, no rain has touched them, and it's the foundation stones of the ancient Temple Mount are now, the very foundation ones at the bottom are now being uncovered after 1,700 years. So UNESCO can say there's no Jewish connection to Jerusalem or Hebron. UN can say that. The Muslims can say that. The rocks speak out that that is not the case. The Jews were there, they're back, and they're there to stay.
And in just a moment, when I bring Jim Jr., my son, to these microphones, we'll talk more about that. And you going to that location David has just introduced to us on a visit as we travel to Israel and Jordan some 8 times every year. Just about a minute left, David, if you will. Last week they had the Feast of Tabernacles, a 7-day feast, the last of the 7 Jewish feasts that God gave the Jewish people in Leviticus 23. Some interesting things happened. Christians from all over the world gathered. They had a Jerusalem march, and the priestly blessings were pronounced upon the people. Give us that update.
Jimmy, this has been going on now for about 30 years in terms of the foreign Christian involvement. Every year we have that priestly blessing. Every year it's bigger than before, at least in the ones I've attended many times. It is my favorite time of the year in Israel. There is nothing like the Feast of Tabernacles. Like I said, a week-long feast, a lot of joy, a lot of celebration, and a reminder that this is, you know, the feast that is going to be celebrated in the kingdom of God, according to Zechariah 14, and all the nations will come up, even as they're beginning to do now, throughout the millennium, this will happen as well. It's exciting. It's a foretaste of the future. And again, a confirmation that the God of Israel is God, and he's returning his Jewish people back to their homeland.
Yes, indeed, he is. And that's exciting as we think about this region of the world, key to understanding the prophetic significance of what's going on in our world. I want to remind you, David Dolan joins us every week on my program, Prophecy Today. It's Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You join us when David will be back. David, thank you so much, my good friend. Talk to you on Saturday.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to have Rob Congdon in another region of the world, key to Bible prophecy. He'll be reporting on the European Union.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Yes, sir. Jimmy DeYoung here at the microphones, replacing Dave, Sam, and Gary. Now, wait a minute. I cannot replace those guys. They're the A-team. I am the guest host today, though, for Stand in the Gap Today. So thrilled for this privilege and opportunity the men have given me. Our focus on this hour for you that have been listening, you recognize it already, it's looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy. If you've just joined us, I've already had a conversation with David James talking about the way we should interpret the prophetic word of God. And then I looked at the key region in our world as it relates to Bible prophecy, the Middle East, with longtime journalist David Dolan. Right now, though, we bring to these microphones Dr. Rob Congdon. Dr. Congdon lived in the European Union for a number of years, goes back on an annual basis to teach in different locations across the European Union, and recognizes that most likely the European Union is the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire that the book of Daniel, chapter 7, refers to in a prophecy yet to be fulfilled. That's why we bring Rob to these microphones. And Rob, let everybody know what your website is, because you have some great teaching on that. You give us information we need to know. What's that website?
Well, our website is www.congdonministries.org. That's C-O-N-G-D-O-N ministries.org, all one word.
Okay, that's great. And be sure to go there. Bookmark that number, that address, actually, on whatever device you use to get onto the Internet. Rob, talk to me about the European Union reaction and response to Donald Trump's decision not to certify the Iranian nuclear deal. I just got the information from Dave Dolan and what the Israelis are thinking about it. What are the European Union leaders thinking about this decision by President Trump?
Well, in an ongoing pattern, they are concerned and disturbed. They tend to like to keep everything just status quo, don't shake the boat, don't rock the boat at all. And President Trump does just that as far as the Europeans are concerned. Their goal is against nationalism. It is against independent action. They want to be handle all things united. And their concept, fundamental to them, is that you can politically negotiate anything. And the Iranian deal was a political negotiation that even they would view it as put some of the problems down the way, 10 years away, so don't worry about it now. And for this lack of certification could upset that, bring it back to the forefront, and the EU leadership does not want to face new negotiations with Iran. They've got enough issues on their table. In fact, typically, they can only handle one major issue at a time, so they don't want President Trump stirring up problems.
Of course, number one enemy for the Israelis has to be the Iranian regime and their desire to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Howbeit, not only is Israel concerned, but many of the Arab nations are very much concerned about the Iranian nuclear threat, and it has to be a real threat to the European Union before it ever gets to America. Now, they have made some deals, the European Union leaders, with Iran. They're moving into the fact that everything seems to be okay. Is that not correct?
That's right. They would suggest that all is well. They want their neighborhood, as they would view Iran as being neighbors to the EU. They want it all quiet. And so in many ways, they're ignoring a potentially dangerous situation and potentially a rise of more nuclear powers in the Middle East. So the EU is in essence, ignoring it and believing all is well for them. And that's where they want to stay. And they believe their policies toward Iran and the other Arab nations of the Middle East will just keep things peaceful and quiet.
Well, in fact, though, that is not the case when you look at the European Union in this immigration problem that they're confronting right now. In fact, I think that's the elephant in the room that the Great Britain did not want to talk about when they said they were going to pull out of the European Union. I'll get to Brexit in just a moment. But the real growing problem in the European Union, Rob, is it not the increase in the Muslims that are coming in, many of them of the radical persuasion?
It is a growing problem. In fact, the two recent elections, the one in Austria just on the 15th and one coming up this weekend in the Czech Republic, one of the issues is the immigration and the idea that Europe is becoming Islamized instead of maintaining its history. And surprisingly, the European Union has been taking positions, have opened a recent official museum about European history. Two things they ignore is the number of immigrants that's coming in and the change to Europe in becoming more Islamic. And so, yeah, this is a big issue. And like you said, it is the elephant in the room. They just keep ignoring it and moving on its way and disregarding, I would say, a growing populist movement within the EU that is reacting strong against the leadership and the bringing in of more immigrants, and certainly recognition by many of the people who live with it daily, the growing terrorism that seems to be a result of this incoming immigration.
Rob, I introduced this conversation talking about the fact that you and I consider the European Union as at least the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire. Now, that's the book of Daniel, chapters 2 and 7. And we could spend, I guess, a couple of hours discussing those passages of Scripture. But without doing that, let's look at the current events of what's going on in the European Union among its leadership. I'm hearing more and more the term empire. When they want to firm up the power, the strength of the European Union, they're using the term empire. Why is that the case?
Well, they believe the key to peace and prosperity, that's the EU's goal, that key to that is a single global empire, a single world government system, if you will. And the EU is founded upon what is called the supranational government system. It's not a federation like the United States at all. It's basically a group of individuals who no longer have any alliance to the countries that they were born in. In other words, they turn their back on nationalism, and they believe they are representing, if you will, a board of executives that can best govern the world under their control. This isn't an elected group. It's a group of leaders, 28 of them currently, and they are all going toward the single goal of an empire. And, of course, we see Germany, headed by Merkel, as really the prime pusher for this idea, and now joined by France's Macron. They are all talking more than we think of globalization as a business aspect. No, no, no. It's a governmental control of the world's empire. And the EU certainly is an embryonic form of that. It is unique in history, which is exactly what Daniel says that final world government will be. It will be unique in history like none other. And the EU at least qualifies on that basis.
We talk about the empire being formed and the European Union probably the infrastructure for that formation of the revived Roman Empire. But you've got Great Britain and Brexit. Is that going to cause a problem as far as all of this coming together and their strength?
Actually, I think it'll be just the reverse. Whether Britain stays or leaves the European Union, Great Britain has certainly ceased to be an empire. The EU, though, in seeing this, has to get better control of those countries under its control, if you will. And so what I think you're going to see is a stronger control by the Commission, and as I've said many times, a reduction of membership from 28 members of this Commission, the European Commission, that's the executive board that runs the EU, probably down to 10, and then, of course, biblically, we'll see it ultimately move down to a single man. What all these current unrest situations we have in Spain, we have people trying to nationalize and pull out of Spain. We have Scotland having a vote. We're having this potential of the Czech Republic or Austria, both kind of rebels. All that unrest is going to force the EU leadership to take a tighter control, and I think that's going to lead it stronger and stronger toward what we would envision in those end-time scenarios as a reformed Roman Empire.
And recently, have they not called for a stronger European Union with one single man? They have three different aspects of the European Union today. They want one strong leader of this European Union.
That's right. We're seeing that these three branches, if you will, of the European Union government, two of them have individual presidents or leaders of them. And now there's more and more people calling for, let's pull those together and make them a single person who would represent the EU in all aspects. So again, we see all these paths are all leading to a single point, which is the design that we see reflected right in the book of Daniel and Revelation. For God knew where it was going. It is going to serve his purposes ultimately because it will open the door for the return of Jesus Christ.
And when we talk politics, as far as the European Union is concerned, we always have to go to the prophecy, do we not?
You can't avoid it. God is involved in history. God is involved in this world, and he's involved in each individual life. And therefore, all these events are certainly under his overall awareness, control, and leading to the purpose for his glory.
Amen and amen. Hey, Rob, give us that address on your website again, please.
Okay, it's CongdonMinistries.org. It's one word, CongdonMinistries.org.
Stay in touch with Dr. Rob Congdon. Great, valuable information about a key region of the world, the European Union, all coming together with the end-time scenario found in God's Word. Rob, thank you so very much. We'll talk on Saturday.
It's been a pleasure to be with you. Talk Saturday.
We're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, Jim Jr., my son's going to join me. He's been over in Israel and Jordan leading a tour. We'll find out why that's important to do. It's all ahead on Stand in the Gap Today.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and his works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hard-working people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Thank you, sir. Jimmy DeYoung here behind these microphones, filling in for Dave, Sam, and Gary. They'll be back tomorrow, away on ministry business today. They asked me to host this program today. I'm so thrilled and honored they did that. We've been looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy. That would have been the theme for the broadcast today. We've had three previous broadcast partners I'm going to bring to the table in just a moment, my oldest son. You know, the book of Proverbs tells us that when you train up a child in the way he should go, he shall never depart from it. Well, Judy and I, my wife, we decided early on in the lives of our children to start training them up in the ways of the Lord. We did that, and now all four of them join us in our ministry of prophecy today. It thrills me. Jim Jr. is our oldest son. He's working in many, many different facets of this ministry, involved in helping produce our videos, doing the radio for us. He's responsible for speaking himself in prophecy conferences. He also leads our tours to Israel. Then we have our daughter, Leslie. She's involved in fulfillment and keeping the office operating. My daughter, Jody, she has a great responsibility watching over her dad. She's my administrative assistant and taking care of all of our scheduling and everything else. And our youngest son, Rick, is the CEO of our organization. They trusted him so much, it's not normal that you put the youngest kid in charge, but even I have to answer to him. But Jim Jr., he's my pick probably for taking this on into the future. He and his brother Rick work really close together. Jim's the preacher. That's exciting to me. But Jim also leaves tours to Israel. Jim just got back from 3 weeks in Israel and Jordan. And Jim, when you take a trip to Israel, is it not the joy of your life to be able to introduce to Christians the land of the Bible and all the exciting things they can learn there?
Oh, no doubt, Dad. Great to be with you today. You know, going to Israel, although I first started in 1984, probably have been there close to somewhere 150, maybe 200 times, I still get excited going there, and I feel the same excitement with people that it's their first time there. Even after all the times I've been there, I get excited with them because I know what they're going to see. I know that they are stepping out of a black and white movie onto a set that is a high definition color movie that they're seeing, where the actors have just really walked off the stage, and here we are right there seeing history right before our eyes.
Well, when you take your people to Israel, you also give them an extension, if they would like to take it, to go over to Jordan. Of course, one of the seven wonders of the world, I believe one of the most unique cities in all the world, is Petra. And that is an exciting time as well, isn't it?
When you go to that area, 25 square miles and those red rock canyons, that sandstone that's where Esau went, that's where the Edomites were. That's where the Nabataeans carved those stone carvings. A lot of us have only seen those on TV and movies, but when you go there and you're standing in front of these things, it's a couple thousand years worth of history there. And to see not only the past, but understand that for the most part, we believe that that's where God is going to protect the Jews as they're there during the last half of the tribulation period. We understand that God had a place for that in the past and in the future.
You know, that's talked about in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 6, where the Lord does promise through the revelator, John, the apostle, that there will be a place prepared to protect the Jewish people. Put together that with the book of Isaiah 63, when the Lord does return, he goes to the battlefield there in the Jezreel Valley, defeats the armies of the world, and from there travels that blood river that's going to extend from the Jezreel Valley all the way over to Petra. He goes over there, and Isaiah the prophet says, who is that looks like he's been treading in the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God? And it says that this blood, Revelation chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, will flow as high as a horse's bridle for 176 miles. Dear friends, it's 176 miles from the Jezreel Valley to the entrance of Petra, an amazing, amazing city. Well, Jim, let's get back to Israel now just for a moment. And there's so many things we could talk about as it relates to the tours that you lead there in the land of the Bible. But one of them has to be in a key spot for everybody to see, would be the Western Wall Tunnels. I believe that's if I remember correctly, you're the master here, but if I remember correctly, that's an old Hasmonean water tunnel from Bethlehem over to the Temple Mount, about 2,000 years old. Is that correct?
That's correct, Dad. My first time there in those tunnels was back in 1984. They had just opened. The Western Wall Foundation, Heritage Foundation, hadn't even been established yet. That was established in 1988. But I had the privilege of being able to go back into those tunnels, and basically it follows the Western Retaining Wall. Now, that's the plateau on which the temple stood, with Herod the Great, Herod the Master Builder, built this plateau. And so this tunnel follows that Western Retaining Wall, like you said, all the way up to that northern section, which runs into the Hasmonean water tunnels. And it is it's about 600 meters, I guess that's probably the distance, about 1,400 feet that goes from that one section. And you get to walk down and touch those stones that were carved as Herodian put them into place, as he quarried those stones, those limestone from the hills of Mount Moriah there, and brought them and put them in place, and he built that plateau.
Now, just a few moments ago, I was talking with David Dolan, a longtime friend of yours, Jim, and he introduced the new discovery there at the Western Wall, where you take our tour people every single time you go, and there they have a new discovery. Just quickly tell us about that.
Well, you know, archaeology is an evolving science, and over the years, when we first started going there, there was one level that you walked down. Now, the Western Wall that people see today is 65 feet tall. It goes below the ground level about another 50 feet, and that's how far they've gone down. They've uncovered about 8 courses that have been buried under the dirt for 1,700 years. And now they have these Herodian stones, and if you know anything, and you probably, Dave probably mentioned this, the stones of Jerusalem, the Jewish people highly revere those stones, and this is where their temple stood. So as they uncovered those stones, they found this Roman theater that was there. Again, the big mystery for most archaeologists is what took place after the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, until the Muslims came in about 683, I think they came in. So for those 400, 500 years, what did the city of Jerusalem look like? And they had known about this theater. Josephus Flavius, he was the Jewish historian. He had written about it. They could never find it. Both Charles Warren and Charles Wilson went 150 years ago. They were looking for this theater. And now they have brought it to light again, and it is amazing as they have looked at it, and it's giving them much more of a picture of what Jerusalem looked like after the destruction of the temple when the Jews were pushed out of the city, and that's when it really became a Roman city. It was actually named Aelia Capitolina, and so, but there's still a lot that's not known from 70 AD, well, basically from about 138 until about 683.
Jim, you're going to promise you're going to take all of our next tour people down to see that, will you not?
Oh, if you go with us, that is the most coveted visiting site in Israel with the Jews and the Christians. It takes about a year in advance to get a ticket. We're going to take you there.
Absolutely. And Stand in the Gap Radio, along with Sam Rohr and all the guys, and Prophecy Today are going to co-host a tour. It's upcoming in March of this next year. Call 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She'll give you all the information. Thank you so much for listening today. Gary, Sam, and Dave will be back tomorrow right here on Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.